Okay, we want to wish everybody a happy Radhastami, which is the appearance, of course, of Srimati Radharani, and we'll be speaking a little bit about Srimati Radharani this evening or this afternoon. And first we're going to chant a few songs. Yeah, it's all right. I think many of you know Sri Radhika Stava. You know, Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. So I'm going to use the guitar, and I guess you have a bass guitar here you can accompany. Okay, that's nice. So, put this in the bag. I think you all know the song Radhe 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 Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Tarani Mandala Mahite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Radhe Jaya Jaya
Hey!
Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna.
Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe.
Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatakacharya Asa Tata Satashi Shimad Histabang Grace Abhaya Chalanan Abhaktivananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Rindakajai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gajai Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindakajai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikabhata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mature is good. Okay, sorry for everyone on the internet if you missed the last few words. We were just talking about how the Lord has three basic potencies, and we started talking about the Lord's internal potency, the Adi Shakti, and Radharani expands. Just to reiterate for those on the internet, Radharani expands as the principal gopis and the wives in Dwarka and the Lakshmis, like that. And then ultimately, you know, when you get to expansion and expansion and expansion, then you have Durga, actually. She is not, of course, the same as Srimati Radharani, but all the Shaktis, the pure devotee Shaktis, they actually expand from Srimati Radharani. Now, then Vishnu Shakti Parabrahma, then in addition you have other Shaktis too, other categories of Shaktis. Another category of Shakti is what we call avidya karma. That's this ignorant material energy. And then the third category is Kshetra Gyakya Tata Para, which is us. We are the marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Marginal means we can go in either direction. We can go to the spiritual energy or we can go to the material energy. It is our choice. So, being the marginal potency of the Lord, it is described para propta. We are also transcendental. And being also transcendental means that we also cannot get ultimately any enjoyment from this material world, although we think we're getting enjoyment from this material world. So we see the great sages since time immemorial have realized that, and they leave so-called material enjoyment just like it's described about Bart Maharaj, just like one leaves the bathroom or the toilet. Like we have the story of Bart Maharaj, who left his kingdom, he left everything. Of course, he made a few mistakes later on and became attached to a deer and became a deer, but that's another story there. So you see, the great sages understand that we cannot enjoy matter because we are of a different nature than matter. In the same way, Krishna does not enjoy matter. Krishna enjoys interacting with his spiritual energies, which include, ultimately, the jiva souls like ourselves. So Krishna has this desire to enjoy, just like all of us have a desire to enjoy. So his potency, his internal potency, is meant for his enjoyment. Therefore, Radharani is called the Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, aspects of the spiritual energy, there's other aspects such as the Sambit potency and the Sandini potency. Sambit means the cognitive or knowing potency of the Lord. And the Sandini means the existential potency of the Lord. Or to put it in more clear language that I think most of you would understand, it's Sat Chit and Ananda. Sat means eternal. Chit means full of knowledge. And Ananda means bliss. So, Radharani is in charge, or she is the manifestation of the Lord's Ananda potency, or the bliss potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, what does that mean for us? Of course, we are all searching after Ananda, or bliss in this world. And it doesn't mean that Radharani is meant for our pleasure. Because we are Prakriti, and of course, Radharani is also a Paraprakriti, that is, spiritual energy of the Lord. And so Prakriti cannot become the enjoyer or the Purusha. So all the Prakriti, whether we're speaking about Srimati Radharani, or we're speaking about the Kshetra Gyakya, which is ourselves, the marginal potency of the Lord, is meant to give the Lord, to give Krishna enjoyment. And that's how the Prakritis enjoy. We're the Shaktis. Shakti means the potency of the Lord. We're also a Shakti of the Lord. We're the Jiva Shakti. Radharani is the Ladini Shakti, but we're also Shakti. So the only way Shakti can enjoy is by becoming first-class servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Radharani is a first-class servant of Krishna. A first-class servant means one who knows the mind of the person whom they are serving and does what the person wants without being asked. That's pretty good. And we have a similar statement about Srila Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadaa Mayam Yitadati Swapadantikam. So you find this interesting statement, Manovishtam, Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam, that Rupa Goswami understands the mood and the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And understanding the mood and the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means that he has become our acharya. We are actually Rupanugas. So we should become the same in relationship to Krishna and Radharani. Not thinking that we are the enjoyers, but we are meant to be enjoyed. So that is the mood of the devotees of the Supreme Personality of God in relationship to Srimati Radharani. And we see that mood perfectly manifested in the Goswamis of Vrindavan. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were always thinking of giving enjoyment to Radha and Krishna. And whenever something came up that Krishna rendered service or Radharani rendered service to them, they were very upset. I'm going to tell some stories in that regard. One story is that of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was meditating, chanting, doing his seva along the banks of the Shyamakund. Some of you may be familiar with the Shyamakund and Radhakund, the two holiest lakes. So Raghunath Das Goswami was doing his seva there. And just like here, it is quite hot. But in Vrindavan during the summer, it is so hot that, practically speaking, it is like walking into an oven in the middle of the day. What you're experiencing now from the sun is like the middle of the night in Vrindavan during the summer. I don't know if it, has anyone here been in Braj during the summer? Anyone? Yes. So it's pretty hot, isn't it? I know that I can't go outside after 8 o'clock in the morning. And I do my parikrama beginning at midnight, and then I come back by 7 o'clock, and I'm completely wet with sweat. And then, of course, you get the rainy season after that, in which it gets so much rain. You may think it rains a lot here, but you get so much rain. One time I was going around Govardhan, and it started raining, and I had to swim back. Because the drainage is not so good. The water was up to my chest. So, talking about the weather in Braj, so Raghunath Das Goswami was meditating, chanting on the banks of the Shyamakund, this specific place called the Manasa Bhavana Ghat, and it was very hot outside. So Sanatana Goswami happened to come by and to see Raghunath Das Goswami. And what he saw there was that Srimati Radharani was holding her shawl over Raghunath Das Goswami's head to shield him from the heat. And when Sanatana Goswami talked to Raghunath Das Goswami, what did he do? He chastised him. He said, "You should not be taking service from Srimati Radharani like this. You should build a kutir," because Raghunath Das Goswami, he was very much averse to building anything for himself. He came from a very rich family, had a very opulent family, house, money, everything that anyone could desire. And he renounced it all to become the most renounced of all the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So he didn't even want to build a little tiny kutir, a little hut to shield himself from the sun. So Sanatana Goswami said, "You must do this. And finally, he relented. Of course, there was another story where Sanatan Goswami caught Raghunath Das Goswami being protected from the tigers by Krishna. Krishna had a stick in his hand, and he was protecting Raghunath Das Goswami from the tigers, the wild tigers that were there at that time. So eventually Raghunath Das Goswami built a kutir so that he wouldn't have to take service from Radha and Krishna. So that's the mood of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. There's another story. Once upon a time, Srila Rupa Goswami wanted to prepare some very nice kheer for his brother, Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was the elder and, practically speaking, the Siksha Guru of Srila Rupa Goswami. So Srila Rupa Goswami was like, let me make some nice preparation for my brother, but I don't have any ingredients. So what should I do? And he was thinking like this, lamenting. Then along comes a little girl. And she says, Swamiji, here's the ingredients. Here's milk, here's sugar, here's whatever else was required, I guess rice. And he took it and he said, thank you very much. And so we prepared this sweet rice or kheer, whatever it was. And Sanatan Goswami comes and he feeds Sanatan Goswami this kheer after he offers it to the deity, of course. And Sanatan Goswami tastes it and he thinks, wow, I've never eaten kheer like this before. What did he put in it? And where did he get the ingredients from? So we asked Rupa Goswami, where did you get the ingredients for this kheer? And Rupa Goswami says, well, this little girl came around and she gave me milk, sugar, you know, whatever else, rice. And Sanatan Goswami realizes that was Radharani. And he chastises Srila Rupa Goswami that you should not take service from Radha and Krishna, especially from Radharani. You should render service. Of course, the Lord and Srimati Radharani are always enthusiastic to serve their devotees. But a devotee doesn't want to take service from Radha and Krishna. One story that we experienced was very interesting with Prabhupada, how generally one wants to take service from the spiritual master, or at least enjoy the spiritual master. So this is a personal story. Once upon a time, myself and another devotee, we were following Prabhupada from one part of the United States to another. That means from Los Angeles to New York, New York to Los Angeles. Like, I guess you would call that in with rock and roll bands, groupies. So Prabhupada saw that. And what did he say? He says, you're not supposed to enjoy the spiritual master. You're supposed to serve the spiritual master. In other words, get the H-E-L-L out of here. So the same consciousness should be there with Radha and Krishna. But because we're in this material world, we have this enjoying propensity. We even approach spiritual life with the idea to enjoy. Of course, in the beginning, Krishna understands that. He says in the Gita, Chaturvidha Vajanti Mam, he said people come to me for enjoyment, basically, for four basic reasons. They come because they're looking for wealth, they come because they're inquisitive, because they want knowledge, or they're in distress. Or they come because they want to go back to Godhead. I remember when I first joined the Krishna Conscious Movement 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago, I would pray to Krishna before I went to sleep every night to kill me so I could go back to Godhead. Why did I want to go back to Godhead? Because I wanted to be with all the desire cows where you could get any variety of ice cream you wanted. Isn't it? You hear about the desire trees, desire cows, surabhi cows, surabhi adi, all the yantam. You think, wow, that would be great, you know, ice cream, pizza every day, you know. So, but it was very self-centered. It wasn't about Krishna, it was about me. It wasn't in the mood as we were explaining, of Srimati Radharani was the mood of what's good for me. So, but Krishna understands that. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually said, if we want to make devotees, we have to understand that principle. And he used the example, you have to give them balam rice with ghee in it. And I'll explain what that means in a second. He told a story about that. He said, once upon a time, there was a man who couldn't keep any servants, because I guess he was tough on them. And the servants kept running away. And I guess they got unemployment insurance or something. So anyway, so they kept running away. And he went to his friend, how do you keep your servants? And his friend said, just give them some, like basmati rice with ghee every day for about 2 weeks, they'll never leave. So Krishna understands that point. And he says, you know, akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, daradi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether you're free of material desires, full of material desires, or desirous of liberation, just worship him with enthusiasm. So that's the carrot. You understand the carrot and the stick? So, but ultimately, one comes to the point of anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma navritam anukuyena krishnanushilana bhakti rutabham, which is Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service, which means wanting nothing for oneself, spiritually, materially, going back to Godhead, you know, manmanishvare bhavatad bhakti haita gitwaye, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, but simply wanting a haitaki twaye to serve Krishna in an unalloyed way according to what Krishna wants and being active and enthusiastic at it. But that takes some time. So before we come, but when we come to that point of being unalloyed, then we can actually really understand Radharani. But before that, what do? We perform Vaidhi Bhakti. Everyone's heard of Vaidhi Bhakti? No. Vaidhi Bhakti means the rules and regulations. And when one becomes free of all anartas, unwanted things in this world, and he becomes spontaneous, then Vishaya Chaya Kavi Shudahabi Mana Kavi Hama He Rabo Sri Vrindavana. Then your mind manifests Vrindavan. Right now, if we close our eyes or go away or whatever, I don't think our minds are going to manifest Vrindavan. When you go to sleep, does your mind manifest Vrindavan? Probably not. Well, maybe some of you. Some of you may be pure devotees. I don't want to be committing any mad elephant offenses here. But in any case, with most people, it's not like that. So at that point, one can really enter into the mood of Radha and Krishna. Now, what do we do in the meantime? I mentioned Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations, but that's not the only point. But rules and regulations and chanting and giving our heart and worshiping Radha and Krishna in a mood of awe and reverence. Awe and reverence. Like many of you mentioned, you see Radharani as mother in a very reverent way. Of course, in the spiritual world, whether you're a coward boy, let's say you're a coward boy, you may not have a reverent relationship with Krishna. You may just slap Krishna on the back. You may wrestle with him, right? You may fight with him. You may have an argument with him. But if you do that now, you'll be in trouble. Let's say if you go up to the deities, you Gornatai deities here, and you have an argument with them. And you say, Gornatai, you're in my... Gornatai, I don't agree with what you're doing. You'll be in trouble. There's an example of one devotee, his name was Raghunandana, who had an intimate relationship. He could do that with the deities. His father, Mukunda, told him, make an offering to the deities, because I'm going to do some business. His father was a doctor. So he didn't know any of the mantras or mudras or any of the procedures for deity worship. So he just put the offering in front of the deities and said, eat. And Krishna didn't eat. And there's some stories that even threaten the deities, you know, eat. Krishna, I said, eat. And Krishna said, okay. And he sat down and ate. And he made Krishna eat everything on his plate, like a parent makes everyone, like makes the child eat everything on his plate or her plate. And so, this is very intimate. This is Raghunuga, or even higher, you know, pure devotional service. So, ultimately, his father came back. And his father said, did you do your deity worship today? And he said, yes, but I had trouble making Krishna eat. And his father said, what do you mean? He said, he wouldn't eat until I yelled at him or cried. And his father said, that's not the process. He doesn't eat like that. He eats angani, yasha, shakalen, driya, driti, manti. Krishna eats through his ears. Krishna eats, you know, interchangeable senses as described in the Brahma Sangita. And he said, no, Dad, Krishna ate. So the father said, okay, show me. So the father was looking in the window of the temple, and the son, Raghunandana, was doing the offering. And as he was doing the offering, he said, Krishna, eat. And Krishna got down, but he wasn't that hungry. So he only ate like half a laddu. But he ate it. And the father said, wow, you're a better devotee than me. Later on, when the father was questioned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the father said that my son is actually my father and I'm the son. Because he was more advanced. So this is pure devotional service where you can go up to Krishna, slap him on the back. Don't slap the deities on the back, please. You can give Krishna a hug. Don't give the deities a hug. You can... or like the gopis, it's like Radharani is in the mood of a left-handed gopi. She is getting angry with Krishna sometimes, and Krishna likes to see her anger. And her associates, they stand with sticks sometimes to keep Krishna away. And they threaten Krishna, especially Lalita Devi, threatens Krishna like this. But this is something that's very elevated. Our mood, as Srila Prabhupada said many times, when we worship Radha and Krishna, is we worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. What does that mean? There's Radha and Krishna there, but the mood is one of awe and reverence. Yes, I know Krishna has his intimate pastimes, but he's also God, don't forget it. Those who are in Vrindavan, absorbed in their intimate pastimes, pure devotees, they forget that Krishna is God. And even Krishna in Vrindavan and Radharani, they forget who they are so they can enjoy Ras. Krishna is called the enjoyer of Rasa Raj, the king of Ras. Rasa Bihari, the enjoyer of Ras. Ras means like a taste. He has different tastes. Tastes in terms of the five different rasas that we're familiar with, the Shanta Ras, Dasha Ras, Sakti Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya Ras. And there's also the seven indirect rasas, such as humor, chivalry, shock, ghastliness. And so Krishna enjoys all these different rasas, all these different tastes with his devotees. Krishna's like that in Vrindavan. So it's all a very intimate exchange. But for us, we approach Krishna at this point and Radharani in a mood of awe and reverence. Very, very important point, especially if you're worshiping Radha and Krishna, you're worshiping Gaur-Nitai, you remember that they're God. It's very important to do that. Until Vishaya Chariya Kabe Shudahabi Mana. Until you have a completely purified mind. So what do we learn from the mood of Srimati Radharani? This is important too, insofar as it's applicable to us. If we want to understand Srimati Radharani's mood that's applicable to us, we study... Oh, Jai Radhe Radhe Radhe. Very nice. These deities have a name besides Radha and Krishna? Radha Govinda. Radha Govinda ki jai. Radha Govinda ki jai. The deities of Rupa Goswami. So if we want to understand the mood of Srimati Radharani that's applicable to us, what do? We study Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Actually, there's more information as far as all the books we have in the Krishna Conscious Movement on Srimati Radharani's mood in the Chaitanya Charitamrita than we find practically anywhere else. And specifically, in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, where we find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delving into the meaning of the Shikshashtika prayers, the eight prayers that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally left us. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna who wanted to understand Radharani. That was his mood, his motivation in taking on the mood of Radharani. Because he wanted to understand understand Radharani's love for him, he wanted to see himself from her perspective, and above all, he wanted to enjoy from the position of Srimati Radharani. Because the interesting thing is, as Srimati Radharani shows us, that the servant of God enjoys more than God himself. Many people want to be God. And of course, from India, we have so many people who come who say they are God. Pretty good imitations, or bad imitations. But many people want to be God. In fact, that's the general consciousness of everybody in the material world. Ishwaroham Ahom Bhogi, Siddhoham Balaban Sukhi. That's actually a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, in the divine and demoniac natures, in which the demon is saying, Ishwaroham, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, Ahom Bhogi, Siddhoham, I'm perfect, I'm powerful, and I'm happy. But what does Krishna say in the end of the fifth chapter of the Gita? Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshram suridam sarvabhutanam gatva mam shantim richati. That he's the enjoyer, he's the proprietor, he's the friend of all the living entities. So, naturally, we want to be the center like that. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understands, he's Krishna, and he understands that Radharani enjoys more than he does as Krishna. That's amazing, isn't it? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but serving Krishna is more enjoyable than being Krishna. Very, very interesting. So that's one of the main motivations why Lord Chaitanya, or Krishna, takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani, and he becomes Gauranga, whereas Srimati Radharani is called Gaurangi, golden, and he's golden. And so, in that mood, he shows us the mood of Srimati Radharani, and I'm going to go over a little bit of the last verse in the Shikshashtika prayers in that regard. So, in the last verse, we're just going to do the English. Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You are completely free to do anything and everything, and you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. This is pure devotional service. This is love. The Bhagavatam says, that's the only thing that will satisfy the heart. Savai pum sam paro dharma yato bhakti yad hoksaje ahoitaki apretiyata yayatma supersedate. The only thing that satisfies the heart is pure love. And Prabhupada actually makes that statement in the beginning of his Krishna book where he says that we want to express our love unlimitedly, but in this world, our love hits, I'm paraphrasing his words, hits sort of like a roadblock. You can't express it beyond a certain point. Let's say you may love your dog or your cat, or you may love here, Disneyland or Disney World or whatever. whatever. Or your house, or your wife, or whatever. So, but you can't express it unlimitedly. After a while, it gets dry. That's called chapalasuka. You know, flickering happiness. So therefore, you have to keep shifting. That's called Bodha Tyaga. Basic Krishna conscious philosophy. So we want our love to expand unlimitedly. And that can only be done when we focus our love on the Absolute. And of course, by loving the Absolute, that's Krishna, of course, then we can love everybody. Yastu sarvani bhutani atman evanu pashati sarva bhutesha chapmanam tato nabhika gupshate. Then you could love everybody. So, anyway, so that's the real enjoyment. To love in an unlimited way, to, I don't want to use the word surrender, but just give yourself completely. Like the word sharanagati doesn't mean exactly the word surrender in English. It means to go, to give yourself completely. And that's really what satisfies the self. So that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example when he's citing the last verse of the Shikshashika, and you'll find this in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, I gave that verse already. You can crush me by your grace. You can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything. And you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's cited as going further in the explanation of that particular verse. He says that if Krishna's happiness is my unhappiness, then my unhappiness is my happiness. Now that may sound like a contradiction. Or in the mood of Srimati Radharani, if Krishna wants to go and associate with some other lady, then I will go and serve that other lady. Now, that's a really high standard. I don't think those of you who are married, I don't think I would ask your wives to do that. And then in the purport, Prabhupada gives the example of this story from the Markandeya Purana, where this wife was serving the husband. The husband wanted to see the prostitute. You know the story? The husband had leprosy. And so she was serving the husband like that. And finally, the prostitute agreed to see the husband. I'm not suggesting this is a good example for all of you. But it's an example of complete devotion. I'm not saying, don't quote me out of context, I'm not saying the wives should all be like that with their husbands. This is Kali Yuga. You got Kali Yuga husbands too. So she was serving. Finally, the prostitute agreed to see the husband. So they're on their way to see the prostitute. The husband realizes how great his wife is. And what happens is on the way back, because nothing happens, the husband is very respectful towards his wife. The husband who has leprosy touches Markandeya Rishi. And he gets cursed to die before the sun rises the next day. And what does the wife do? Does anyone know the story? She says the sun's not going to rise the next day. Her chastity, her devotion to her husband in this case, is so strong that she's able to stop the sun from rising. Amazing. I mean, you have many stories of chaste ladies in the Vedic literatures. Of course, you have Sita Devi and other chaste ladies. But this is a very interesting story. And Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas use this story to illustrate the dedication, the chastity of Srimati Radharani to Krishna. And of course you also see this exhibited in her expansions, like Sita Devi with Lord Ram. Remember at the end of the Ramayana, she says, if I have never thought of anybody else other than Ram, my husband, let the earth open up and swallow me and take me away from this place. And so the earth opens up, and of course Sita Devi is taken away. So she is known as the most chaste person. So Radharani is like that too. Completely chaste, dedicated to Krishna. So she becomes, the reason I'm citing this example and talking about Radharani's mood from the Anshalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is an example for us in relationship to Krishna, in relationship also to our spiritual master. Because one who is faithful like this, Radharani setting that example, one becomes very powerful. One becomes completely immersed in spirituality. And you see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to relate this to Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada was the most chaste and devoted disciple of his spiritual master. And how can I say that? Because Prabhupada got this instruction from his spiritual master, which many other disciples got, and this is not a criticism of anyone else, to go to the Western world and preach Krishna consciousness in English. And Prabhupada took it as his life and soul at his age. Now, for those of you who are young, you may not appreciate how difficult it is to do something when you're 70 years old. I can, because that's my age. Sometimes they say, it's interesting, sometimes devotees say, Maharaj, you've got your best years ahead of you. These are your Prabhupada years. It's a standard saying that I get. I said, okay, but I'm not Prabhupada. You're trying to push me to do more than I can possibly do. So, but Prabhupada, so here's this chastity. You know, I'm just equating this with Srimati Radharani's chastity in relationship to Krishna and also showing you the prerequisite for entering in the spiritual world and actually understanding Srimati Radharani. The words, the life and soul, no money, no friends in the United States. You know, he had some friends of a friend or relatives of a friend or whatever. And he took faith in the holy name, Shraddha, faith in the holy name, faith in Guru, and therefore the success potency was there. So success potency is Lakshmi. Lakshmi, Srimati Radharani. Radharani is the Adi Lakshmi also. We talk about Adi Shakti, Adi Lakshmi. So if one has that faith, Shraddha Shabdev Vishal Shakahe Sudrita Nishya, that firm faith in Krishna, in Guru, then that's the mood that Srimati Radharani is showing us, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting. That sort of dedication. And that sort of dedication will help us reach the spiritual perfection very, very quickly. So to me, that's a very important, perhaps the most important lesson I can imbibe on this day of Radhasthami. So thank you very much. So, yes, good timing. Does anyone have any questions? Questions or comments?
Usually we like to hear the examples of Prabhupada and discussing.
Yeah.
But we keep dreaming about it. I can invite myself, but how can I also become more sincere? So we think about it, but we can't really.
Well, it's a question of faith. Let's use the Sanskrit word for faith. Shraddha, right? Does anyone know what that word means, literally? Can anyone give you the etymological meaning of the word shraddha? Besides you, Mayapur, because you've heard me talk about it before. Yeah, it means faith. But what? But where? How do you derive the meaning faith from that word? What? Confidence, yes, but how do you, etymologically, I mean, let's take apart the Sanskrit words. Sha, shak, da. It means giving, shak, your heart, da, to give. That's really important. So that's what you see in the case of Srimati Radharani. She has given her heart completely to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, is taking that same mood, saving that same, whatever, I'm using the word mood again and again and again. But that's what the word Shraddha means. So, Shraddha. So to actually give your heart and soul, and another way of expressing that is Vyavasayatmaka Buddhiya, Ekeha Kurudandana, from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, those who are on this path are one-pointed and their aim is one. And then Others are Bhavishyatas Chvanantascha. Their determination is many branched. So that's really the mood of Srimati Radharani and the mood that I'm trying to convey to all of you, and I'm trying to convey to myself too, to understand Srimati Radharani. This is not a very easy thing, because Srimati Radharani is spiritual. And right now, we are seeing things through our imperfect senses. We have a tendency to make mistakes and cheat like this and be an illusion. So how can we understand spirit? Of course, there's a requirement. Chaito dharpana marjana bhava mahadbhagni nirvapa. We have to cleanse our hearts. So it's not all of a sudden that one can come to this platform. But this is the goal. To engage in unalloyed love yabhilashato shunyam jnanakarma navritam anukulyena krishnamushilanam bhaktiruptimam, as Srila Rupa Goswami describes. So, anybody else have any questions? Yes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
Why did you say, specifically in Vrindavan, why does everybody always say Radhe Radhe?
Oh, good question. Why does everyone say Radhe Radhe? Well, because Krishna is pretty tough. That's why they don't say Krishna, Krishna. Krishna has a certain requirement, and his requirement is you surrender. He's nice. I'm not saying he's not nice. Hey, Krishna, Karna, Sindhu, Dinabandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopikapanta, Radhakanta, Namostate. He's an ocean of mercy. But to get Krishna's mercy, you really have to surrender. That's really hard. Sarvadharman Puritcha Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Aham Twam Sarvapapayu Mokshiyashami Mashuchaha. So because we're not at that level, therefore it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that because Lord Chaitanya takes on the mood of Srimati Radharani, he becomes more merciful than he, Krishna, normally is. And you have these verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita describing things like the Panchatattva came down to open up the storehouse of love of God, and when they opened up the storehouse of love of God, nobody had the price to pay. Therefore, they distributed the contents of the storehouse of love of God freely. So because Srimati Radharani, the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is more merciful than Krishna because she's feminine, you know, the men tend to be a little tough. And Srimati Radharani is soft-hearted. That's why you'll see more ladies many times if you go to a religious ceremony. You'll always, not always, because if you go to Afghanistan, you won't see more ladies. You won't see any ladies. Anyway, so I don't want to say always, but in many cases, you'll see more ladies at a religious ceremony because they're soft-hearted. Many times, this is a little humorous, many times I've done marriages, Krishna-conscious marriages, and the ladies are sitting in front, and they're crying, oh, isn't this so beautiful, so-and-so, she gets her Mangala Sutra, oh, I can't believe how wonderful and beautiful this is. And the men, they're all in the back talking about business. Has anyone seen this in marriages? Always, isn't it? And the ladies say, oh, isn't Devi and Deva, they're getting married. Oh, it's so sweet. And they start crying. And the men are looking at their watches, when can I get out of here? So that's the nature, even in this material world, between the male and the female. Female is much more open-hearted. So when Radharani sees, that's why we serve Radharani through her representative, the spiritual master, and that's why we chant Radhe, Radhe. And of course in Vrindavan they chant Radhe, Radhe, Shame, Radhe, you know, too, that's another thing. bring me to Krishna. So if you want to get to Krishna, you have to go through Radharani. Of course, there's a process, a little more complicated than that. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that first you approach the spiritual master, who is simultaneously representative of Srimati Radharani and a representative of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master, Bala Hinena Labdwa. That Balaram's the original spiritual master, Lord Nityananda, Balaram Hoyla Natai. Balaram and Nityananda, they're the same person. And by approaching Lord Nityananda, the spiritual master and Lord Nityananda, then one can work on getting rid of one's anarthas. Anarthas means unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, etc. Then one becomes qualified to approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and come to the ecstatic platform. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. But first we go through Lord Nityananda. And then, when one gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and comes to the ecstatic platform, one becomes qualified to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and then finally one can understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. This is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So we pray for the mercy of Radharani. In fact, in the Maha Mantra, and I'm sorry I left this out, I wanted to speak about this, Radharani's name comes first. Hare Krishna. Hare is O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani. But it's vocative. Vocative means crying out. Oh, we don't have a vocative sense in English, so we have to add another word. Like if I'm calling someone's name, like Dwaipayana, for example, I have to say, hey, Dwaipayana. I can't just say Dwaipayana. I could, but it's not as effective as saying, hey, or oh. But in Sanskrit, you go into the vocative sense, which is either Radhe or Hare. You know, Radharani, the name Radharani is nominative, that's her name. Or Krishna is also vocative. It's also crying out. Every time you say Krishna, that's vocative. Crying out, oh Krishna. Nominative, calling that, just referring to Krishna as his name, would be Krishnas, like Krishnas to Bhagavan Swayam in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we say Hare Krishna, we're saying, oh Radha, oh Krishna, right? And then Rama, it's interesting, the word Rama in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is defined in various ways by various acharyas, and all these ways are actually true. Some devotees, they have an argument whether Rama refers to Balaram or Rama refers to Lord Ram. And some of the acharyas say Rama refers to Radharaman. So you got Radharani in there too. So Radharani is always approached first because she is the merciful feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by her compassion, which is manifest in Lord Chaitanya's compassion, that's why Prabhupada installed Gaura-Nitai deities. Some people ask, you know, why did Prabhupada install Gaura-Nitai deities? Why did Prabhupada even say that we could distribute Gaura-Nitai deities on Sankirtan to people? Prabhupada said he said you could call them happy dolls, you know, little Gaura-Nitai deities. You could distribute to everyone. Of course, I don't know how much or how enthusiastic the deity worship minister for ISKCON would be about that one, but that was what Prabhupada said. And because they're so merciful, Dina Hina, Yata Chilo Harinamu Durilo, whether one's fallen, whether one's elevated, they give people Harinam and one can become spiritually situated. So, Tara Sakshi Jagai Madai, the evidence is Jagai and Madai, how they were saved. So, that's the mercy of Srimati Radharani, manifest through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's why we chant Gauranga or Gauranga Valite Havi Pulaka Shavir. That's why we approach Radharani. We go, Radhe, 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 Radhe. Just one funny story about my own experience of chanting Radhe, Radhe. This is not an internal realization, but it's a funny story. that when I'm in Vrindavan, I get in the habit of greeting the residents of Vrindavan. I haven't been able to go to Vrindavan because of COVID for some time, unfortunately. But I stay there quite a bit, especially at Govardhan. And I get in the habit of saying Radhe Radhe to everybody I meet. So one time I was in Vrindavan, I was at Govardhan for about a month. And then I went to Mayapur, and I started to say Radhe Radhe to everybody, and I got chastised. He said, "No! Hare Krishna!" I said, "Okay, Hare Krishna. It's the same thing." Somehow or other, they get upset with me for saying Radhe Radhe. So there's that. And there's some devotees in Vrindavan who just they paint Radhe's name, Radharani's name, everywhere on all the trees and everything like that. So, yes, we pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, and we try to understand her mood in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just to reiterate, her mood is perfectly exemplified in the activities and words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who exhibited Mahabhav, the topmost ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. So, I think it's time to end.
One more
question, yeah.
When we chant Radhe Radhe, why we think about something else, like who is coming and who is going and what we're cooking for dinner tonight and something like that? We should have only Radha Radhe in our mind.
That reminds me of the story that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told. One time there was someone giving a Bhagavad Saptaha, and he was chanting Radhe Radhe. And one of the people in the audience kept crying and crying and crying. And he said, "Why are you crying? You must be a great devotee." And he said, that was the name of my either goat or something that passed away. And I miss my goat. Anyway. So, anyway, it's a funny story. It was told by our acharyas. Because sometimes when we hear a name, we project it to something in our own experience. That's when we hear about the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna, we think it's like some Bollywood movie we watched, right? You know, Radha is like Rani Mukherjee, and Krishna's like Ashok, right? And even sometimes you get these couples that come to you, and they say, "She's my Radha, and I'm her Krishna." You ever heard that before? And I said, "No way." "She's your Durga." It's like Prabhupada said that, Lord Prabhupada said, if you want Lakshmi and you don't have Narayan, you get Maya Lakshmi or Durga, which means great difficulty. So the question is, why? When you chant Radhe Radhe, you're thinking something else because the mind is very restless, turbulent, and obstinate, as Krishna says in the Gita. Arjuna says, Chanchalabhi manha Krishna pramati balabhadru nam tushaham nahi vayor eva shiduskaram. The mind is more difficult to control than the wind. So when we chant either Radhe Radhe or the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, our mind tends to wander. And the way to bring it back, and we talked about this last night, I think even the night before last, was to have some reason why we're chanting, to be praying. Like when we're chanting the holy name, we should be crying out and asking Krishna for signs of prayer. The Hare Krishna mantra is a prayer. Please engage me in your service. And so when we chant Radhe, we're actually asking Krishna, to please let us engage in Krishna's service, because that's Radharani's whole mood, is to engage in Krishna's service. You cannot have Radha without Krishna. If you have Radha without Krishna, it's like having Sita without Ram. And then you'll be like Ravan. And you'll get Maya Sita. Of course, in the Ramayana, it's described that Maya Sita eventually fell in love with Ram. Do you know the story?
No.
I tell it real quickly, although it has nothing to do with Radhastami. So there was the Maya Sita that was kept by Agni, and the real Sita was not actually kidnapped by Ravan. Okay, this first thing. So after the real Sita was brought back. The Maya Sita wanted to marry Ram. And Ram said, Ekapatni Vrata. In this life, only one wife. But you'll have to wait some time in the future, and then you can marry me. So, fast forward. What happened is that once upon a time, Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi were together, and this great sage, Bhrigamuni, kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. Lakshmi, I'm telling the story real quickly, because it's a long story. Lakshmi became very upset. She left Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu didn't have any money. No Lakshmi. You know, what can you do even, Lord? You know, this is a pastime, obviously. Lakshmi, Sahasra, Sata, Sambrava, Sivamanam, Govindamani. Ultimately, there's no lack. Lord Vishnu can create many Lakshmis. So. But this is a pastime. So Lakshmi leaves him. And Lord Vishnu comes down to the earth planet to try to find Lakshmi. And lo and behold, he finds Maya Lakshmi, the same Maya Lakshmi he wanted to marry him before, who was the Maya Lakshmi in the Ramayana pastime. And he finds her and he wants to marry her, but she's from a very rich family, and right now he has no Lakshmi. So he wants to marry her, and the family doesn't agree, so he has to borrow some money from Kubera, because he's the treasurer of the demigods, and he has to borrow a piece of land from Varahadev. Anyone's heard this story before? I'm sure you've heard. No? No one's heard this story. Anyway, this is the story of in Tirumala, of Balaji. Some of you may recognize the story. So he has to borrow all this money. And finally, he marries Maya Lakshmi. And they're going on their honeymoon. And so they're very happy. Oh, finally got at least Maya Lakshmi, even if I didn't have real Lakshmi. And so they're going on their honeymoon. And who do they run into when they're starting to go on their honeymoon? They run into the real Lakshmi. And real Lakshmi says, what are you doing with my husband? And Maya Lakshmi says, he's my husband. So they start to have this big argument, and like I said, ladies get real emotional, and the men are just thinking, how can I get out of here? So Narayan, Vishnu, is thinking, how can I get out of here? You know, I gotta get out of here. This is too much for me, you know, two ladies fighting each other over me. And so he thinks the best way to get out of here is a pastime. He turns himself into a deity. And the two ladies look at him, and they think, oh my God, we've lost our husband. Well, we have to. They turn themselves into deities too, and that's Ashri and Bhu, the deities that accompany Balaji in Tirumala. Anyone here has been to Tirumala? Yes. So you've been to Tirumala. So you know that, you've heard that story before, right? Very nice story. So, anyway, had nothing to do with Radhastami, but somehow we got into that story. So, yeah, we got into that story because if you try to have Radha without Krishna, try to enjoy Radha, then you get Maya Lakshmi, which is actually Durga. And Durga's business, she rides on a chariot, She rides on a tigress, and she has a trident, and in that trident, she causes us to have threefold miseries, adhyatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic miseries. And so, miseries from the body and mind, miseries from other living entities, and miseries from material nature in general. So you got to choose. You got to have Krishna with Radha. And so when you are crying, Radhe, Radhe, the mood should be Radha engagement in Krishna's service. Because that's what pleases Srimati Radharani. What pleases her more than anything else is if you give Krishna pleasure, and you assist her in her pastimes or her service to Krishna. So think like that, and then hopefully your mind will remain fixed, or keep practicing, and the mind will become fixed after some time. Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe. Okay, I think it's time to end. Thank you very much, and it's been a nice visit here to see all the nice Vaishnavas. Please help this temple. It's a great temple. Dwaipaya and his family are completely dedicated, you know, day and night to this temple, and it's so much potential you have here. I mean, eventually you should plan on having like Radha Krishna deities. You have a nice piece of property, you can build a nice temple here. It can be a place of pilgrimage for everybody who comes to Orlando instead of going to see some mouse. isn't it? Some mouse or what else? Goofy or something like this? I don't even know. And it's boring. It's actually quite boring. Years ago, as a devotee, I went to Disney World. And I went to Disney World with His Holiness Jaipa Thakamaraj. We went on a date. The reason we were going there is to try to see, he wanted to see what he could do for Sridhar Mayapur as far as exhibits. And it was probably one of the most excruciating times I've ever had. Other than I had great association the whole time. As we were sitting on the teacups, we were going around in circles. Or going through, what is that mountain where you go down a chute or something like that. So it's much more enjoyable to be a servant rather than to be the master. Okay, on that happy note, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimati Radharani Ki Jai, Radhe 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 Radhe. Prabhupada Ki Jai.
So we're all so happy to have this association. Yes. And I don't know how Maharaj took out his...